Good morning. This is the study of Ephesians. This is precept Bible study. And we have now studied the first six lessons. And today will be the seventh lesson. And if you haven't studied with us, you can go online at rolandsprings.com and go under studies, and there you can start with lesson one or wherever you left off in your last study to get you caught up. But let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin our study and thank Him for this opportunity. Father, we do come to You thanking You and praising You for the opportunity to read and study Your Word. And Father, we can't understand unless You give us that understanding. But we know we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, and He leads us and teaches us and gives us that understanding. And we just praise Your great name, Father, for the great Almighty God that You are. And we just want to learn more about You, that we may know You, Father, and in knowing You, we may serve You and bring You honor and glory. And we give it to You, and we ask it in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Now, we have already studied the first three chapters and part of chapter 4. But we learned that there are two different segments. It's divided of this letter, this that Paul has written to the Ephesians. And we learned that the first segment was in chapter 1 through chapter 3. And it was about the blessings and the riches in Christ, and about His grace. And then we did start in chapter 4 last week. So the second segment is chapter 4 through chapter 6. And in these chapters, Paul is saying to the Ephesians that now that you have the blessings of Christ in you, you're to walk in a manner worthy. It's your responsibility as believers to carry out the will of God. So we want to look at Ephesians 4, 1 through 6 that we studied last lesson, which was lesson 6. And we learned in these verses there is a walk or a way to live which is worthy of God's grace and blessings. And the first thing that Paul presents as part of this walk is the unity of the Spirit. We studied about the ones in verses 4 through 6 that tell us it's all about the unity. Even though Jews and Gentiles have different backgrounds, they became united in the church. So therefore, all believers need to be diligent to persevere and to maintain the unity of the Spirit within the church. Let's start in chapter 4 today in verse 7. And I'll read the first verses 7 through 10, starting at verse 7. But to each one of us, the believers, Paul is saying, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, when Christ ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. Verse 9, Now, this, he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. And verse 10 says, he who descended is also the one, Christ, who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. So there's a contrast here. So first Paul spoke of all believers in verse 6, change to the individual, each one, he said in verse 7. But to each one, God gave grace to each believer according to the measure of Christ's gift. And then in verse 8, he says he gave gifts to men when he ascended. So, what is the definition of gift or gifts? It means a free gift. In the Greek, it's spelled D-O-R-E-A, meaning it's on the freeness of the gift. God's gift was his son, and it was free. And then the word grace. Grace is the undeserved favor from God that was given to each individual that believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's for all that are believers. And so that is also from the word doma, that grace in verse 8 is from the same root of verse 7. Now let's read some of the scripture that Paul spoke to the other churches. Let's look at, John. Let's look at the book of John and verses 37 through 39. John 7, 37 through 39. After Jesus was glorified, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So after Jesus was glorified, after his death, resurrection, and ascension, then he sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit came permanently to live in all who believe in Jesus. And you have to believe before you can receive the Holy Spirit. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians as Paul instructed them in chapter 12, 4 through 11. 1 Corinthians 12. 4 through 11. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another of faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kind of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, but one And the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. So we see in these verses that the Holy Spirit gives the spiritual gifts to believers as manifestation of Jesus within them. And the gifts are for the good of all believers. It functions within the church. As each one has received different gifts through the Holy Spirit, it is for the functioning and the well-being of the church. Now then, let's look at Acts of chapter 2, verse 27 through 36. Acts 2, 22 through 36. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him, Christ, being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put him to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Verse 26, therefore my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. That's Christ. For you have made known to me the way of life, and you will make me full of joy in your presence. So what are these verses saying? They tell of the Holy Spirit coming after Jesus' ascension. And then God the Father, through Jesus, his Son, poured out the Spirit on all who believed. And that was when spiritual gifts were given initially to members of Christ's body. Now, let's kind of look and see how this relates to verses 9 and 10 of Ephesians and to the context of 7 through 16. Paul gave an exclamation for what it meant by quoting Psalm 68:18. That is what I read for David said. That's what he quoted. The psalm is a song of God's victory written by David. And so God's captives seem to be referenced to Israel, talking about his people whom he rescued from captivity and whom he shared the spoils of victory. That was the land of Jerusalem. His dwelling place, God's sanctuary. So when Jesus ascended as the victor, he also delivered the captives, and he gave gifts to men so they would carry on the victory, and he gave the Spirit who gave the spiritual gifts. So I want to now look at some more scripture. Let's see if I can find 1 Peter chapter 3, 18 through 22. 1 Peter 3, 18 through 22. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison who formerly were disobedient, When once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a divine suffering waited, which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water, Noah and his family. There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him. So Jesus went to the spirits in prison and made proclamation, a proclamation of victory. And this is the context of his death and ascension. So he preached the word to these that were in prison who were formerly disobedient. And so he is saying to us then that it is through the word that salvation comes. Even in the day of Noah and his family, they obeyed God, and God saved them. He rescued them. And the baptism doesn't save us, but we're only saying through baptism that we have died with Christ, that we are buried, that's when we are immersed into the water, and then we are raised. We will be raised. We will have the resurrection like Jesus because of Jesus Christ and because of our faith in him and his grace that we have been saved. Now, one more scripture here that I want to read is Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. Revelation 1, 18. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death. So, Jesus is the one that God raised from the dead. He was the firstborn. He was the first resurrection. And Jesus was given to him the keys over death and Hades. So, this we have the assurance that because Jesus was raised, that we also will be raised. So, some pastors or teachers, they think is one gift or gifted person, and others think they're two separate gifts and gifted people. Let's look at verses 11. Go back to Ephesians now. And look at verses, chapter 4 of Ephesians, verses 11 through 16. And I will read these and then explain the verses, starting with verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him, Christ, who is the head, Christ Jesus, from whom the body of the church, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share and causes its growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So, what are the gifts that he spoke of in verse 11? He said he gave some apostles, he gave some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers or shepherds. So, why then were there separate gifts to give to different people? It was given to separate one to equip the saints for the work of service, their ministry, and to build up the body of Christ, so that those in the body are no longer children, it says, tossed by every wind of doctrine. For the growth of the body is the church. The church makes up the body. So, these special gifts, look at first apostle. That's a messenger, a delegate messenger, one sent on a mission to carry the message of God's word, the gospel. And he gave some prophets. So prophecy signifies the speaking forth of the mind and the counsel of God. And then he gave some the gift of evangelist. And the evangelist is a messenger of good. He is one that brings good news, giving the gospel to the lost that they may become a part of the body of the Christ, which is the church. And then pastors, he gave some to be pastors, shepherds or teachers. This one is not only a teacher of God's word, but a shepherd of the flock that he teaches. So the pastor of the church is to be a shepherd, to watch over the church body of Christ. So let's see what he is saying now in Colossians 2:19. Let's see if I've gotten to that yet. I don't think I have. We look back and we saw in 1 Corinthians 12, in Romans 12, in 1 Peter, a different Greek word for gifts from the one in Ephesians 4. It's used in all three of the passages, and it means gifts of grace. The gifts are manifested of the Holy Spirit in every believer, but every believer does not have the same spiritual gift. So therefore, the body of Christ needs all of its members to function properly. The gifts are given for the common good of the church itself. And these gifts fall into two main categories, and that's speaking and serving. And those are to speak of God's word. So the four gifts then of men in Ephesians 4:11 are speaking gifts, speaking God's word. And then we look at the word equipping. He is going to equip those that he has given these gifts. No matter what, if he calls us to whatever he would have us to do, he's going to equip us. It's a preparation or training that qualifies. And so the proper use then of these gifts is to equip the body, leads to the body being built up, and it leads to a unity of faith, and also it leads to maturity. So to be mature, it means that you have accomplished or completed what you were given the task for. So let's look now at verse 15, and I'm going to read verse 15 of Ephesians 4. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, the church, joined and knitted together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So the instructions that he has given in this verse is that the believers should always speak the truth, and that we should grow up, he said, speaking the truth, how? In love, that we may grow up into Him, Christ, that is the head. So Christ is the head of the church. The body is the church, the believers. And verse 16 teaches us about the growth of the body. Let's look at verse 16. It tells us here, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So what he is saying here, it takes every member of the body, the church, to function, to grow the church, and to fulfill our duties to God. You can look at the body of the church and what Paul has been saying. God has given different gifts to each member that makes up the body, knowing that Christ is the head. It is His body. The church is His body. He is the head. So the whole body is fitted together and held together by every joint. That's by each believer. It's just like the natural body. The natural body is held together by every joint and muscle that God has given us in the natural body. So in the spiritual body, which is the body of Christ, which is each member of believers in the body of Christ, we're fitted or joined together, closely knit together, and we're held together in unity to put together in one's mind. This shows in the closeness of the church as a living body of Christ. So let's look at one more scripture in the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verse 19. Colossians 2, 19. And not holding fast to the head, which is Christ, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. So it is among true believers that are not listening to the world, to cunning men for doctrine. The growth comes from our working together, here holding fast to the head, working together for the glory of God, that brings us as His body. He nourishes us and knits us together, just like our natural body, in joints and ligaments. So this is how that God can use the spiritual body, our body, as believers, that we may grow up into His grace and knowledge and follow His will, that He will be glorified. So the growth that we grow up into, the proper working of each one that has been given a gift, working together. Proper means required measure, and working is operative power or efficiency. And so God is the one that makes us efficient to be able to carry on His work and to do His will. And we can only do this by His grace and His mercy. It all comes from God. The gifts that we have comes from God. We cannot do anything within ourselves, but it's through Him that we are able to grow up into the increase that He gives us that is from God. So this lesson hasn't been as long as some of the previous lessons, but just go back as you review this and listen to this recording and read the word. Go all the way back to the fourth chapter in the very first verse and see how it comes together in what we've studied today, and that we may learn more. The more you're in the Word, the more the Holy Spirit is going to teach you and guide you and give you understanding. So let us continue to pray for one another. Pray for me that God will use me for His honor and His glory, and that everything that each of us do will be according to His will. So let us close now today in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You again for Your precious word. We thank You, Father, for those that You gave the word and equipped them to write it down, that we today may be able to hear You speak through Your apostle Paul, as we're studying the book of Ephesians, and all these other great men and disciples that You called to write Your word. It is Your finger. Everything that is written is Your truths, Your finger that inspired them to write it down through the Holy Spirit. And we thank You for that same Holy Spirit that You gave to these men to write, that that same Holy Spirit dwells in each of us as believers, as the body of Christ. And I just pray that we will humble ourselves and You will keep us humble at Your feet, Father, that You may use us. And may we always remember that we can do nothing without You, Father. But we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. We thank You and praise You and give You all the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.